Jordan, and this is Yes But Why Podcast. Yeah. Austin Film Festival was an amazing adventure for me. Yes But Why was invited to join the press corps, and I spent the better part of Friday the 25th and Saturday the 26th doing interviews in and around the Driscoll Hotel in downtown Austin. In this upcoming interview, I spoke with Zach Lamplew and Brian Emund about their feature film, The Vice Guide to Bigfoot. I had moderated the Q&A for their premiere the night before, and so we continued the conversation about the Atlanta comedy scene and about what it takes to put together a full-length comedy movie like theirs. Go watch the second screening of The Vice Guide to Bigfoot on Tuesday, October 29th at 9:15 p.m. at the Galaxy Highland Movie Theater.
Yeah, we're in Atlanta. It's good. We like it. I mean, it's the reason I moved there. I moved there for the film and the comedy scene. I was living in New Orleans before.
Oh.
And, there was so much film work. Like, I think I worked 3 days out of the whole year I lived in New Orleans. In New Orleans, I worked, 6 months in Atlanta.
Huh.
I kept coming up and just being, like, I would just get emails that were, like, can you come up here for, 3 weeks? And then I'd be, like, okay. And then I would just be there. And then while I was doing there, I started doing comedy. Or I was doing comedy in New Orleans and just, saw so many more comics in Atlanta and so many more shows.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then...
Wow, calling you, every day.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was right at... For the film stuff, it was, right at the tail end of, I think it was a year later, their governor, just cut all their tax incentives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it was, right... They started offering less and less incentives, and Hollywood was going to Atlanta.
Yeah, I've heard a bunch of actors moving from L.A. to Atlanta. A couple of my... my uncle is an actor in his, 60s, and a bunch of his friends are all moving down there to do television shows and stuff. And I was like, heck yeah.
Yeah, especially... Well, once you're on, a show or anything like that... I mean, Margaret Cho, for example, was on a show that was shooting in Peachtree City. And she was basically living there for, 4 years. Because, they were there so often. She had an apartment that was, near a comedy club. So it's, I think they still probably have, a foot in L.A. or something just for, relationships.
Yeah.
But,
certainly, I think, an agent, at least.
Yeah.
For sure. Because I think it's all still run from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your main comedy hub in Atlanta? What's the, theater you hang out at the most or, the shows you do?
Yeah, we ran our, we, somebody else is running the show now. Yeah, it feels weird, I guess, to other people, but, it's such a stand-up comedy thing to, if you move or something, to just be like, someone else take over. Keep running this space at the hotel bar or whatever the hell. And so we kind of wanted to stop doing it so we could, make this movie and actually focus on that. And so we gave it off to 3 other people, and they're still running it. So there's still a monthly film screening in Atlanta where... people test out new comedy shorts, and there's 8 shorts a month or something that get shown usually.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's at the Village Theater. They're really cool.
It puts a necessary deadline for creatives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're really good because prior to that, we had submit sketches. There was a yearly competition in Atlanta, and that was cool to enter. But once that's over, you're I don't releasing on YouTube can feel like. Nothing. You're releasing into the ocean of nothingness, and releasing it there at like a place where you're going to have response, so you can get feedback on how people are laughing, if they like it. Once we realize that it's going to be a long time before we do this again, we should just set up our own and just start creating this deadline for ourselves and others.
It seems wild that there wasn't other opportunities for that. I mean, I've heard of lots of good improv theaters, I guess. In my mind, I assumed there was also sketch that they were producing and putting out, or maybe that's more insular. It's great that you guys created that. I just thought, wow, I imagined it would be there for you guys.
It's video sketch is a whole different animal, and especially because it takes so much time to produce and everything. I mean, everybody just wants to do live sketch because you get the immediate gratification.
Mm-hmm.
There's not 2 days of staying up editing it. You know what I mean? So with video, and also you need to have more like money for equipment. You need to have more like days to shoot, organize things, and all this stuff. So,
if you want to find a really good editor, chances are they're hired right now, working. So, like it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we started running like basically a space where people could just premiere stuff and like build chops and everything. And a lot of people that were in that, like 8 of them work at Turner now. Good. Like they all kind of graduated to be like editors for TV, myself included. And then like a couple of them have gone on to like make movies and stuff. It's fun.
Yeah. It sounds like you guys gave people a good opportunity to put their stuff out there and also feel like
that's what I tell
accomplishing
them.
Something. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like, cause you know, it's not every day. Clearly there's not a lot of like opportunity for that. And the fact that you gave it to them is really awesome that they were able to put it up. I mean, how many times you put something on YouTube and it feels like, well, there it goes.
Yeah. 1,000 views. Work. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even if something else happens, it's like, but I did all this work.
Yeah.
Like, it's great that they watch it. I'm super happy that you watch it. But, you know,
yeah.
like I'm so glad even that the work you put into this movie, you got this audience, you're going to have more audiences, people get to see it in a larger scale, mm-hmm. and get to have that awesome film experience where we're all in the room. Like, I watched it beforehand to prepare, but then in the room, it was so fun to hear what they're laughing at,
yeah.
and the spots where, like, they, and sometimes I'd be anticipating, I'd be like, don't pre-laugh. Like, you'll ruin the whole joke if you pre-laugh. But, like, I would love it. I would hear them all. So that, and the experience that you gave those people to be able mm-hmm. to, because editing is sometimes even after an audience. So they got to learn that. They honed their skills. They're getting jobs.
Yeah, a really.
You should get a commission is what I'm saying.
Exactly. I told them every day they should be grateful to know me. No.
10% of their salaries at Turner.
Something really psycho that I used to do, I guess, is I would record, like, all the shows, too. I had a microphone that I would aim at the audience and record everything, and then I would send it to all the filmmakers too and be like, here's like the 5-minute chunk of your film so you can see where all the like laughs were too. And I would do it for myself, and only like twice I think did I have a short play that was, because I learned from these pitfalls from doing this, but like I had a short that was like 5 minutes long and kind of a mess, and it kind of felt like, okay, are these two jokes? What's going on? Are we making fun of three things? And then I watched it back with the laugh track, and I was like, oh, so there's like three ideas. They're only laughing at two. Cut out the third thing, and now it's a 3.5-minute short, and it's going to get laughs all the way through. And it's like more people like look at it and go, oh, I get it. Like, I see it's a spoof on this instead of like a bunch of shit. It was kind of that particular one I'm thinking of was kind of a mess. It just had like three jokes going on, and it should have been like one or two.
Sure, I heard that.
Yeah,
I've written my fair share of like, I'm not really sure what the joke is here, but guys, we've got a camera and today we're filming.
So
I understand.
You spend a long time writing it, or you're just looking at it over and over again, and you're like, I think there was a joke in here somewhere. I think this is funny to begin with.
Guys, I'm funny.
I heard about that from Steve Pink, the Hot Tub Time Machine director. Does that. He does. He like records his like premieres and focus screenings and stuff like that. Yeah.
Dude, that's nice. That's not only is that like good for you, but it's also like an excellent practice and like mm-hmm. puts you in the point of view of really getting what, providing the audience what they're hoping to get. And that's at the end of the day, kind of the point. So I'm. And plus, it's an excellent skill for other people to be doing. Are you, did you record last night?
I did record last night, but but I didn't, like, listen back.
No time, but.
Yeah.
Recut the movie before Tuesday?
Exactly.
You're like, we cannot do the interviews because we are editing this movie again.
We gotta get a different actor, we gotta get a different Bigfoot,
Yeah, no, I just recorded on my phone. I was like, I don't know if this will be useful, but I might as well just press rolling on it for if I feel like I need to figure something out.
I love that you did. That is really awesome.
Yeah.
Did you guys, have you always worked together, and are you planning on working together again? If you're not, you don't have to have a fight right here in front of me. Awesome.
Yeah, we 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
No.
When I walk out of this room, I don't want to see Zach's face again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we both started, like, I met him doing stand-up comedy. That was sort of how we started, like, coming across each other's path. And then I know you were looking to do more sketch stuff, so was mm-hmm. I, but, like, we hadn't really ever talked with anyone who was like, me too, or would even want to follow through. Like, a lot That's of people so would be hard. Like, let's meet up and talk about it. And I'm like, yeah, but do you have a camera? Uh-huh. Like, that was like I want to set it up for this weekend. And they'd be like, ah, I'm busy. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I don't want to talk about a sketch idea for like a year. Like, it just kills the, mm-hmm. and it just kills ideas. Like, just talking about them too much kills them.
Yeah.
And then we entered, like I mentioned, that yearly festival. I think it was really that you wanted to shoot a sketch and you're like, I need an office.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I've got an empty office.
Yeah. He had a job at a startup that he was like, we can do it on a Saturday. No one goes in there. And so we got, yeah. So we used his little fob to get into an office and shoot some stuff. Yeah.
And the rest is history, I guess. Is what you
yeah. The rest is some real small time history. No one's going to write about.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Plus to a certain extent, the idea that, you know, people will say, oh, how do I even meet somebody to work with? I can't find anyone. How about you help somebody when they need something?
That's good.
You clearly were like, oh, hey, you need that? Great, I have this. And then it was like, and then they made a movie together and it went to Austin Film Festival. You also could do that. Like,
yeah.
That, the idea behind the podcast that I do is a lot about sketch and improv students
okay.
trying to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they graduate a program and they're like, so what do I do now? I'm like, everything.
Yeah, next.
What do you want to do?
Go.
And so I started interviewing people to show them different possible paths. And so I like the idea. I know that, you know, okay. it's silly, but really, if you're like, oh, I can help you with this, you two could totally connect, and then you've got a team. And also, I've definitely been in a world where people don't want to make it happen.
Yeah.
So if you can collect the small handful of people who actually want to accomplish stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And there you go. You can really get a solid production company going.
Yeah. Yeah. And running that show like really helped. Like I was saying last night, it like kind of would break people's aspirations sometimes. Cause okay. So here was the rule with it, right? Was we did it every month. Like,
we were the hosts.
Yeah, we were always the hosts of the show, so we did stuff every month. And then the other filmmakers had to submit, and it was free to submit. We didn't, like, charge anybody. And then whoever the audience voted was the winner of their submission block, they had to keep coming back until they lost with new content.
Oh, nice.
So they had to keep returning. And so you would see people win for like 4 months. And like the first month, it would be like, it's got like 5 locations. And then like the third month, they're like, it doesn't even have sound. Like, they're like, dude, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't keep doing this.
It's just
man.
A slideshow.
Yeah. So it would get people thinking, because the first one, obviously, they would be like, I'm really amped to do it. I'm going to take like 2 months to plan it. And then like the third one, they like had 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Or, when so, you tell them that you win and you're like, so. Take a day off and yeah. start writing that next one.
Yeah, so it would get people faster at like idea generation and generating ideas that could be done in the next 2 weeks to three
yeah.
weeks, and then like just turning around a project quickly. And it, and some people really grew out of it, and then some people kind of stopped wanting to do shorts, I guess. Or like some people you could tell did it twice in 3 years, you know what I mean, or something like that. And
but then a lot of those people also like diverted quickly off to what they wanted to.
Yeah.
Like a lot, it's like, oh, now you're editing full-time at Turner. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, that,
yeah.
like.
When you learn that skill, the hard times can be good.
Yeah.
The hard times of like, how do I get this done? Oh my God. But then you learn how to get it done.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And when you have a job to do, they're not going to be like, you have a week. They'll be like, tomorrow,
yep.
we need this 40-minute mm-hmm. thing. And you're like, I'm sorry, what? So that's a real life thing.
Yeah.
Get ready for a job. You want money for it? Lots of fast turnaround.
Uh-huh.
So. We need to wrap up. I wanted to just ask you guys if you had any advice for sketch comedians out there or improv comedians or stand-up comedians. How do you get together to make it happen to get a film
so
into
like
a festival?
Film or a okay.
Make it, get it out. I mean, it's 1 minute to give me great advice. But.
Yeah, well,
find someone who is also as angry at the world as yourself and then just bond with them over that. And be like, I think, I am saying angry at the... Find someone with a similar perspective as yourself, because yeah. I think that's where you're going to start, like, forming a conversation, and maybe your ideas are going to start to line up. And then with that person, realize that life is short and be like, I just want to make it. Yeah. I just want to make it. I want to make it right now. And find an audience that you can measure it off of. Maybe see if there's a comedy show in town. Comedy shows in different towns are really willing to let a sketch show.
Yeah.
They're not going to be like, no, you can, they love it.
Yeah.
Like, you can find that feedback.
I would play it. Because you know, running that, we had like home field advantage. Like people would come out and be like, okay, we know their work, so we're going to like check it out and everything. But I would routinely take our sketches to other places that would screen things. Like there was to places, because you should do that, like to places. Like there was one that was like kind of pretty Christian-y. Like I would bring other filmmakers there and they'd be like, I don't like how this is so Christian. And I'm like, whatever, man. Like, because
yeah, exactly.
And also, like, all these Hollywood people are like, we want to appeal to middle America. Well, this is a room full of that. You know what I mean? You can't be too dirty for these people.
Yeah,
they have to laugh at it. And then there was like one that was like in a bar, and there'd be like kind of people talking, and I was like, just play it here. Like, we'll see if what we're doing is powerful enough to make people like look at it.
Yeah,
because it may not be. You know what I mean? And you'll figure it out.
Absolutely. So, that's a great
yeah,
advice.
Play different places, you know.
Find feedback.
Well, thank you guys so much for chatting with me and sharing information with my audience, and I hope you have a wonderful day of chatting about your great movie.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast. Check out all our episodes on yesbutwhypodcast.com or check out all the content on our network, HC Universal, at hcuniversalnetwork.com.